Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
For the Morning Mashup.
A recap of the biggest stories of the morning with John and Hugh.
Crazy. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
And welcome back to the morning show on this Tuesday, April the 21st. John and Hugh from the Mobile Kia Studios all across Metro Atlanta and, of course, worldwide at radio.com. Time for one of our favorite segments, the Morning Mashup, where Oren Romaine finds all these fun stories and puts them into little bite-sized portions for us. Here is story number one.
When can I see you again? When can my heart beat again? When can I see you again? And when can I breathe once again?
It has been a month since I have been in the studio by myself. One home, 30 days of being by myself here. Nobody around but me. You would think I'd be excited about all that alone. No, I'm not. But hey, it's mashup time, so let's do it. No one is immune from the laws of social distancing, even all-time great quarterbacks. Here, a Tampa Bay official talks about how they were clearing out people in the parks, and one of the folks working out was a very famous quarterback.
Let's talk about the sports teams and how great they've been to – oh, I got to tell you this story, too. Now, I always tell people I'm not one to gossip, so you didn't hear this from me. But, you know, our parks are closed down, and so a lot of our park staff, you know, they patrol around just to make sure that their people aren't in their contact sports and things. And saw an individual working out in one of our downtown parks, and she went over to tell him that it was closed and it was Tom Brady.
So, oh, my goodness.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
So, he has been cited.
What's wrong with Tom Brady going to the park and workout, man? Don't he have a crib down there in Florida that's like got a – it's like, what, 30,000 square foot mansion or something like that? Come on, man. But you need to be at the – I understand you want to be out and you know, be out and get some sun or whatever. But sometimes you got to make sacrifices. And being in the crib is probably one of the biggest sacrifices that you're probably going to have to make. But you got a nice crib. You got a big old crib. Oren, is what? Jeter's old crib. Yeah, you know that's a big old house. And it has to have a weight room in it. Probably has a track while you're playing. Yeah, man, go and stay your butt at home.
Yeah, and then, of course, he gets popped in the park there, and the parks are closed, and they immediately send out a tweet saying, oh, we're sorry, Tom. Wait a second, Hugh, if you are in a closed park, if I'm in a closed park in my town, and they say, hey, get out, are they sending out a tweet going, oh, we're so sorry?
No, because you're John Freaky. You're not, right. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, I know, it's not the same thing. Morning Mashup story number two.
Chase Young doesn't need y'all calling the police or calling his future NFL team about his draft party because he's going to follow all the rules and guidelines for social distancing. Here he is describing just what he's going to do that night and how he's going to include as much of his family as possible.
Basically, I'm going to have 10 people, because, you know, with all this stuff going on, you only can only have 10 people, I guess, is the limit. So I'm going to have up to, like, 10 people in my house. And we're going to watch it, obviously, my close, my immediate family and, like, a few close friends. And then what I'm going to do is for my family that would be there that, can't come inside, what I'm going to do is we think about doing is having a projector. We're going to shine a projector on the side of my house so that everybody else can drive up outside and watch it. And then after, when it's over, When I do get drafted, then I can come outside, and you know, just trying to make sure I can follow the rules while, you know, I see the rest of my family. So that's basically the plan.
So basically, have a projector on the side, like put a projector on the side of his crib, and then like he's the Pope or somebody, like wave at folks after he gets drafted outside, come outside and social distance. I mean, it's a good plan. I've seen people over the last couple of weeks. I had a friend of mine whose son had a birthday party, and they had a party by people would just ride by, blow the horn. They had like streamers and stuff outside their car, hand him a gift, keep it moving. So basically, it's the same thing, man. He's learning how to adjust. You got to applaud him for that, though. That is pretty. It's gonna be pretty funny though, because I'm pretty sure his non-family members and the neighbors are gonna be looking like, what the heck's going on? I mean, they should probably know, though, because they're probably going to be watching TV. But it's still going to be kind of weird.
Yeah, how do you pick the 10? Hugh, I mean, who feels like they got – wait a second.
Why well, be mother, outside with the mother, projector? Father, brothers, like immediate brother, sister, maybe grandmother, if she's around, girlfriend. Like, that's like, what, six people right there? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, it's going to be some folks that are going to be feeling some kind of way. But, dude, like, you got to understand, like, mom, dad, that's a given. Family member, brother, sister, that's a given. Girlfriend, given. So anybody else, get in where you fit in. Like, right. That's what it's got to be.
Wait a minute. I'm out in the lawn. How'd I get in there? Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, exactly. you better be on the lawn 6 feet apart, though. Whatever it is, you better be 6 feet apart.
Morning Mashup story number 3.
We have our first preview of episode 3 from The Last Dance, featuring one Mr. Dennis Rodman. Here, Jordan tells a story about how Rodman wanted to go on a vacation, but during the regular season.
When Dennis wants to tell me something, I knew it's not something that I want to hear. So Dennis says, I need a vacation. And I look at Phil and say, Phil, what do you mean, vacation? He says he needs a vacation. He needs some time off to let loose.
I say, look, Phil, let me tell you something, man.
If anybody needs a vacation, I need a vacation. We look at Dennis and say, Dennis, what are you going to do?
He says, well, I need to go to Vegas.
Phil, you let this dude go to vacation, we're not going to see him. You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him. So he looks at Dennis and says, Dennis, well, can your vacation be like 48 hours? And Dennis is like,
I got no other choice. I take whatever you can give me. I take the 48 hours.
I cannot wait to see the set. Well, is it two in second installment? Is it two installments like it was last week, or are they going to do us like this and just give us one? That's good. That's good. I cannot wait. There's two more new ones. I cannot wait, man, because I cannot wait to see the interaction between Michael Jordan and Dennis Rodman. Now, this is where it's probably going to get a little sticky, and Mike's going to say that people probably don't like him. Because I can tell you immediately, listening to that cut, like Mike used to kick it. I don't know if this was the part where Mike used to hang out and kick it, but it's going to be interesting to see how him and Dennis Rodman's relationship's going to be. Or how it's going to be portrayed in this. Because it ain't like Mike was a school choir boy now. He wasn't a choir boy. So it's going to be interesting to see it. I can't wait to see it. So I'm going to reserve all of my comments about that cut until next week. So, Oren, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to have to revisit this one.
Morning Mashup story number 4.
We're only 2 episodes into The Last Dance, and we've already got some more drama beef here. Minor beef. Bill Laimbeer called LeBron the greatest of all time ahead of the premiere this Sunday. Now Tim Hardaway is saying, hey, Bill, you got that wrong.
Stop being jealous. Stop being jealous. He took it to you, Bill. I know you all didn't like it. You know, you probably got dunked on 5, 6, 7, 8 times. But Bill and the Bad Boys, y'all made Michael Jordan to what he became. And that was that fierce competitor that wanted to go out there and win each and every night. And that's y'all fault. So don't be mad. Don't be upset, and don't be, you know, jealous.
Like I said before, man, basketball players are a different breed, because now you're starting to hear stories like, I think John mentioned it yesterday, about how Michael Jordan, right after LeBron's parade in Cleveland or whatever, that he then decided to do this documentary and things of that nature, and he did it out of, you know, because that's when the GOAT talk started to pick up a little bit. Guys are different in the NBA. So, I mean, Bill Laimbeer made some valid points, but at the same time, it did sound like a little bit of hating.
Yeah, a little bit of jealousy. I hear that name. All I hear is the chant, Laimbeer sucks. And he loved it, by the way. he encouraged it. He was, that was his thing. All right, Barney Mashup story number five.
Yeah, for all the fun times and the winning that the Golden State Warriors looked like they had with KD, it wasn't really all that. Draymond Green talked about yesterday how KD left an elephant in the room with his impending free agent decision.
What should have happened was Kevin come out and say, hey, man, like, this is it. Like, so let's do this, or this isn't it. You know what I'm saying? But you can't just leave an elephant in the room, because what happened was the question came to us every day. Like, every time we spoke to the media, Clay and myself was asked about our contract. And it was strictly due to Kevin.
I hear what he's saying, but when KD got there, and you know, we've talked to Travis Link and everything, and how I think he said at one point, like, KD didn't even visit Golden State. He just signed because he wanted to win. He was a hired gun, man. And I think that, you know, you bought into the team concept while you were there, because, you know, yeah, you came up with Steph and you came up with Clay, but KD was a hired gun. So you're asking him to be something that he clearly wasn't. And that was like one of your homies. He didn't come up with you. He came there to win a championship. He won a championship and he left. So another story where, you know, it sounds like, you know, basketball players being a little bit different breed and just being a little bitter.
And if Draymond doesn't want to answer the media questions, it's
just don't ask him.
Yeah, exactly. Just all you have to say is, don't ask me. Go ask KD. Go ask KD. That's all you have to say. I mean, you don't have to sit there and speculate. Just go talk to the man. You know, I know. But hey, it all worked out for him. I don't think he's giving that ring back. That's just a guess.
No, I mean, hey, he got the ring and he got paid. He was going to get paid regardless. But, yeah, he got the ring and he got paid.
And today, a bonus morning mashup story number six.
Going to close out with some feel-good today. Here's John's number one all-time basketball player, Taco Fall, playing the guitar.
You got a song?
No. What is, hold on. Do it one more time. It sounds good though. I ain't gonna lie, but I don't know what song it is. Is that Bob Marley?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Top two.
I didn't even get that one. I thought it was a country song, to be totally honest. But I commend him for picking up a hobby, because I always wanted to play the guitar. Chicks love good guys that play the guitar.
Taco
haven't done
Fall.
It yet. Yeah, haven't done it yet, but definitely want to learn how to play the guitar one day.
Yeah, I was about to say, well, that's Taco Fail, but then again, no, it's really not, because he's trying something brand new. It's one of those lockdown quarantine things where you try and pick up something. It didn't occur to me. That I should probably pick up a piano or a guitar and try and at least, I don't know why it didn't, because, but it just didn't. So anybody that's picking up something and trying it, new and different, I commend them. So listen, plays it better than I do. I don't think I've ever even tried to play a guitar. Matter of fact, I know I haven't. So, hey, listen, he plays it better than I do. What was the song again? Did I miss it?
Was it Redemption Songs or whatever?
Oh, it was Bob Marley. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he played it really, really slow, so it was kind of hard to pick up. Like I said, I thought it was a country song, to be totally honest.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all the more power to him. Strumming a tune right now. Hey, listen, the guy managed to stay relevant in a time when a lot of people, when he came out of Central Florida, said he wouldn't be relevant. So, congratulations to him. It is the morning show with John and Hugh. That was the morning mashup from Oren Romain, who's holding down the fort at the mothership at 14th and Peachtree. We head towards the NFL draft. Again, our coverage begins 5 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon until 2 in the morning. Wall-to-wall coverage of round one of the NFL draft live on your home of the NFL draft, 92.9 The Game, brought to you by Twin Peaks, which is your home for the 2020 NFL season. Well, that's Oren's contribution. Let's get to Abe, the producer. Three questions. We call it the morning menu. He'll jump into the program next with John and Hugh. Sports Radio 92 on The Game is helping you stay connected. John and Hugh reminding you, you can listen to 92 on The Game at home or on any smart device using the radio.com app. Downloading the app is very simple. It's like downloading any other app. Go to the app store, type in radio.com. Download the free Radio.com app, and you can listen to 92.9 The Game anytime, anyplace. For more information, go to Radio.com/stay connected. Morning Menu after a CBS Sports Minute.
Cause all I ever have, redemption songs.
This is the Morning Menu on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning Menu time. Abe, the producer, three questions, ask us. And, of course, always put them up at our Twitter at 92.9 The Game. Morning to you, Abe.
Morning, Abe.
Good morning, fellas. John Hugh, how you doing?
Good, man.
I'm living the dream, man. Living the quarantine dream.
All right, we got a little The Last Dance flavor here on the Morning Menu. A couple questions somewhat involving The Last Dance, either the Bulls or a side piece of that. So the question I have for you to kick things off in true Scottie Pippen fashion, who's the Atlanta sports sidekick that never got the love they deserved?
Spud Webb? That's just a guess.
I don't think that's a bad answer, Hugh. I mean, you talk about those years, and obviously it was all about human highlight film, and Spud had a couple of notable things in his career as well. But I understand that. It's not a bad answer.
I'm mulling this over. Abe, why don't you give me your answer, and then I'll come up with something here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of something maybe in the realms of who was kind of covered up by, like, Joseph Martinez and Miguel Almiron. Something along those lines. I feel like they were so front and center, especially in 2018. Maybe I would go with someone from United. Maybe almost like a – I mean, obviously the impact is a little bit less, but almost like a – I think until last year, because I think Julian Gressel broke out a little bit last year. But I can understand him getting a little bit of that feeling, maybe even Nagby. I really couldn't I kind of wrote this question, and I didn't have an answer for myself, even when giving myself time to think about it. So it's a tough, tough question, because I'm not sure there was a lot of these sorts of roles in Atlanta sports. I think I've talked with you, John. When we had Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz, there was Steve Avery, and there Charlie was Denny Nagel, there was Kevin Millwood. There were a lot of fourth guys that never got any love because of those other three.
And pretty good pitchers in their own right.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of where I was going. That
was kind of where I was going, and I was actually going to go to a position player, and I was going to say Ron Gant, because – Ron, of course, everybody, a lot of the younger fans know him as a TV guy now, but Ron Gant was a tremendous player. And, David Justice kind of, got the attention, the whole Halle Berry thing and everything else. And so I think if I had to say, who was the guy that probably deserved more, may have been, because people forget, Ron Gant almost won that Francisco Cabrera 92 Sid Bream game. He almost hit a grand slam in that inning and had Barry Bonds back to the wall. So I would say I'm going to go with Ron Gant.
Yeah, this is one I'm really looking forward to seeing what our followers and listeners put on Twitter and other names that we didn't really think of, because there's probably a couple of really good examples that just aren't coming to mind. It's a tough question, though. But I like both of your guys' answers. Okay, question number two, a little more direct here on The Last Dance. This is probably going to be blasphemous. I may get crushed for even asking this question. 72-10 Bulls or 73-9 Warriors from a couple years ago? Who are you taking?
I just think because the game was – you know what? I'll amend that. I'll take the Golden State Warriors, because they did it in an era where nobody thought that they would be able to do it in the way that they did it. So I'm gonna say that, and I'm not to disrespect the old school basketball heads, not doing that, but sometimes adapt or die, and Golden State Warriors did that, and they won it in a fashion where a lot of people didn't feel like they would be able to win it. So I'll say the Golden State Warriors.
All right, I got a question. Are we talking about who would win a game between the two, or who had the more impressive year?
I would say who. Ooh, that's a good question. I didn't really think of that.
I thought you were asking
more
about
who would win a series.
Oh, wait a minute. You were asking who would win a series? Oh, I thought you meant in the fashion in which they won it.
Well, you got to remember, Golden State didn't win the title that year.
Oh, excuse me. I thought. Okay.
It's an old story.
Okay, but what I'm.
I guess
was thinking,
asking who you thought was the better team. There was no specific.
Okay, that changed things because I thought we were talking about my fault. I thought we were talking about a championship year, but I was more stuck on just the way that they played and how the kind of success that they had in the way that they played. You know, with shooting the three. That's what I was on. So what exactly are you asking? I should have asked that question.
Yeah, I'm still not sure I'm clear.
In general, who's the better team? In any way you'd like. I mean, I wasn't necessarily thinking of matching them heads up. If that's how you want to go, that's fine. But who do you guys think was the better
team? Okay, 85 Bulls. I go to Bulls.
Yeah, I would go the Bulls too. I think because if no other reason than you look at the Eastern Conference at the time with Detroit and the Knicks with Ewing.
And the physicality of the league back then and the fact that everybody had a great player. Like all the teams had some great players on them back then.
The Celtics and everybody else. Yeah, I think that I'm going to go with the Bulls.
I'm going to go the other way. I'll go with the Warriors. And even though they didn't win the title and you know they lost a 3-1 lead in the finals there to LeBron and the Cavs. I think the thing that impresses me about the Warriors that I didn't see from the Bulls back in 96 at 72-10, if you could find out a way, and obviously only 10 teams did all year, but I feel like only Pippen and Jordan were beating you at that time. I think with the Warriors, you had to worry about five, sometimes six guys on a given night that could beat you, whether it was Draymond, whether it was Klay, whether it was Durant, whether it was Curry, whether it was Iguodala off the bench. They just had so many pieces that on a given night could beat you. I think that's why they were able to go to 73-9 is because if Jordan has an off night, and they were rare, but if he had an off night, Bulls are probably losing. If Steph Curry has an off night, if Klay Thompson had an off night, if Kevin Durant had an off night, there were other pieces to pick it up. And so for over the course of this season, I'll make the argument of the Warriors just because they have a couple more pieces they can rely on. But obviously, even Curry, Klay, Durant, I mean, there's no Jordan on that team. So it's an interesting discussion. There's LeBron. We won't get into that, but there's always LeBron. Okay, final question here, because I go through actually all four of these options at different parts of my quarantine situation. But bear with me, Hugh. This is going to sound weird. It's not weird. Might be.
I'm
a little
pretty
weird,
sure it's going to probably be weird, but that's okay.
What's your footwear of choice while staying at home? Are you socks guy? Are you a shoes guy? Do you go barefoot or you rock slippers? What's your footwear of choice? Walk one.
I'm barefoot as we speak. I haven't really worn a pair of shoes. Well, when I go to the store, I have to wear shoes, but.
Yeah, I don't mean going out for whatever reason you have to go. Obviously, barefoot. When I take the dog for a walk, I throw some shoes on, but. You going barefoot, John Fricke?
I'm barefoot
now. Is Maven letting you go barefoot?
Oh, yeah,
You're
barefoot
now? This may be me only. I never go pretty much barefoot at my house, like, ever. Like, I have socks on most of the day. I don't know if I don't trust how clean my apartment is or what.
Well, that's on you.
I know.
That's kind of on you, Abe, if you're doing
all
that,
brother. Well,
no, of
course it is. I'd be comfortable going barefoot through most of my apartment because it's carpeted, but the part in the kitchen that's like tile, it feels weird. So I go socks most of the day. Obviously, when I'm outside, like you mentioned, Hugh, with the dog, I strap some shoes on. Sometimes at night... you know, if I showered, I don't want to grab a new pair of socks. I might just grab slippers. Mm-hmm. But I almost never wear shoes in the apartment. I just take them off right after I get inside, and then I never go barefoot. So I'm almost always in socks And then if I like just showered, maybe just slippers for the rest of the night. That's kind of where I'm at.
No, I'm barefoot all day, all day.
Yeah, Abe, Mr. Clean, just online too. Okay, he needs to talk to you about grabbing a mop in an area.
Make sure he brings that mask and hand sanitizer when he comes.
A little quarantine catch up for you. The classic move by Bud Light. And more ahead on The Morning Show on this Tuesday, April 21st. I'm saying it all the time just to remind myself and maybe remind you, too. With John and you on Sports Radio 99, The Game, streaming worldwide at radio.com.
Game.
Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 99, The Game, from the Mobile Kia Studios, 2 days ahead of the highly anticipated NFL Draft. Which is brought to you, our coverage is brought to you by Twin Peaks, which is your home for the 2020 NFL season. And, of course, you know, all the shows will have full coverage. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage on Thursday live on Sports Radio 99, The Game, and radio.com of round one of the NFL draft. Plus, all weekend long, we're going to have live coverage as well. And, of course, as you know, it's a virtual draft and a little quarantine catch-up here. And in quarantine, Roger Goodell is going to do first round to the commissioner of the NFL, Hugh, from his basement, which we all assume is going to be, it's not going to be like an ironing board and a couple of a washing machine and some old U-Haul boxes. We think it's going to be something
pretty
swanky.
I'm pretty sure swanky. It's going to be pretty nice. It's probably going to be really nice. No question about that. I mean, it's the commissioner. I mean, you know, it's New York. And you know, living in New York ain't cheap. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be really swanked out.
And because of that, you know, some people have said his wife ought to go down and kids and boo him every time he wants to make a pick, because that's the tradition. Roger Goodell steps up to make the announcement of every pick, and fans boo. It became a thing here. Bud Light is donating $1 up to $500,000 for fans who boo Goodell on social media and then tag Bud Light. So if you boo Roger Goodell, you have to take, I guess, a little text out, tweet out boo Roger Goodell and tag Bud Light, or you know, take a video of yourself booing Roger Goodell, and they're going to donate $1 for everything up to $500,000.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool that they're going to do that, you know. And I mean, it's great that, you know, he's taking a moment where a lot of people felt like, you know, he was got embarrassed, and he's turning it into something that's going to help people out. Shout out to him for that. It's pretty
good. Yeah, that's really, really good on Roger Goodell. And by the way, when we say really good on, how's it good on Roger Goodell? Bud Light is a serious sponsor of the NFL. They would have had to have asked, hey, is it okay we do this? And Roger Goodell said, yeah, sure, of course, it's okay. I think he's probably, what does he make, like $40 million a year?
He's okay. He's not hurting, if that's what you're asking. He's not hurting at all.
Yeah, I think he's probably pretty safe inside his own skin. The World Series of Poker in Las Vegas has been postponed, of course, because of the pandemic. It's not a surprise, Hugh. I mean, the World Series of Poker is a huge, gigantic, ginormous event, the main event. And everybody thinks of, when you think of the World Series of Poker, you think of the main event. That's the big table with all the money. But that's only one of the events they do. There's tons of events. There's all sorts of tournaments within the World Series of Poker, different forms of poker, different levels of poker. But the main event, which will have, I don't know, a couple thousand players. Yeah, the idea of a couple thousand players sitting at tables across from each other for hours on end has forced a postponement, which is not a shock. But I thought, boy, if there was ever a major event that you could take directly to online, this might be it. I mean, you play poker online. Could you play the main event online?
I mean, you would think so, but didn't you say something about the delays and all that other stuff in poker? You said something like that a couple of weeks ago, and how would they handle that or whatever? I think the biggest thing would be the logistics of the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there is, you know, there's probably a workaround, but, you know, you're right. I mean, because people could be on the phone.
That's what you said. You're the one that said it. You said that would be the problem.
Yeah,
and
no, you're
looking
right.
And people looking at hands and all that other stuff.
I'm in another way. Yeah, you're right. You know, no, you're not wrong. But all right. Anyway, they've canceled the World Series of Poker. I had to kind of work through that one a little bit. But you're right. The Last Dance here. We've been talking about it. Hugh, it did gigantic boffo numbers of 6.1 million people watching the first hour of The Last Dance last week. That is like double anything else that ESPN's ever done in terms of this kind of programming.
Yeah, I mean, it was, the timing was impeccable. And, you know, you have a mystical figure, a figure that everybody wants to see. So it was a no-brainer, to be totally honest. I thought it was a no-brainer to put it on the way that they did. And, you know, I'm assuming it was helped by the fact that everybody was at home. No question about that. And I think the only reason why people fell off because it came on so late. You know, it was part of like 10 o'clock. For a lot of people, that's bedtime, especially if you got children or whatever. You're trying to get them into bed and trying to stay normal in your routine. That's probably why, you know, a lot of people fell off towards that, the 10 o'clock hour.
You know, it'd be interesting to see what the ratings are this week because, you know, normally in television, you'll have a big debut like this, and then week two, the ratings will drop, 25, 30, 40%, depends on what happens here. But this may actually, Hugh, it wouldn't shock me if it went the other way. If for no other reason than all the people that didn't watch The Last Dance, who woke up the next day and saw all the reaction to it, may have gone back and then kind of caught up on it. I assume, all right, I just made an assumption that I don't know is true. Maybe Oren and Abe could help me out. Maybe you can, Hugh. Is this up on, I'm not able to do it. Is this on demand right now? Could you watch the first two episodes?
Maybe some people, I don't know. I don't know, John. Maybe some people DVR'd it. Who knows? What'd you say, Oren?
It's on the app.
Yeah, okay. It's on the app.
Yeah, so, and with all the buzz around it, there may be more people, like, you know, tuning in to see, you know, because if you missed it, I will say this, it's on the app, on the ESPN app. It's really good. It was better than I expected it to be. I don't know what I expected. I expected it to be kind of like, you know, I guess, you know, all right, here's this, here's that, but it's really well, extremely well produced. And it's at 2 hours that went by, bam. And I was like, okay, that went fast. Because you get into the story real quick. And so it'll be interesting to see what the ratings are moving forward with this thing. I think it's going to break every, well, it's already broken every record they've ever had. So it's just going to continue to do that. And my first reaction was, I don't know that I can give it 10 hours. Oh, I can give it 10 hours. Great stuff. Last Dance, 6.1 million people.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see, like I said earlier, I cannot wait to see the next episode. I mean, it's going to be one of those ones where, you know, just the whole dynamic, the Dennis Rodman dynamic with them, because it just seemed like Michael Jordan, like they had cuts where, you know, it just seemed like Michael Jordan was a little bit difficult at times. I mean, you know, and most of the great ones are, so we'll see. We will see.
You know, one of the reactions to the ratings was and I saw this on a couple of sites, I have a guy who used to be my producer at Fox who started his own website and has done very well with it. His name is Larry, same as the coach, Larry Brown, and he does it. I'll give Larry a shout out, Larry Brown Sports, and he had a thing that how it bodes well for the NFL draft in terms of ratings for the NFL draft that this did so well. And I thought, man, I always thought the NFL draft was going to do well. But it may even exceed my expectations.
No, nobody who thought the NFL draft wasn't going to do well. The only people that were worried about the draft and whether or not it was going to be interesting was the actual people that are involved. And I think most of the reason they were worried about it is because of some of the problems that they had yesterday. I read somewhere where there was, I think Tanitra mentioned it in her update, where there was some problems with the Bengals pick, and it was like, they had to wait a little while, or it was some technical difficulties or whatever. People are going to watch. If, number one, people are going to watch for the draft. But other folks are going to watch for the train wreck. They're going to be looking for the train wreck. Looky-loos. So it's going to be one of those things that no matter what happens, the NFL is going to get great ratings because it's NFL, and some people just like to see the carnage. They want to see what's going to happen or if it gets screwed up so they can tweet about it.
Yeah, I guess they didn't hit mute is what happened. They had all 32 GMs on. Well, we had that. I think we had that at our meeting yesterday. Somebody was like, somebody needs to go on mute here. That happens when you get those conference calls going. And so and this is why they did the dry run, so they wouldn't have that happen for them. And so that's, you know, all right, everybody understand that you until it's your turn to talk, you got to be on mute here, okay? All right, everybody good? Good. And somebody, you know, somebody's going to forget, right? I mean, somebody's going to forget, and, you know, that you're right, Hugh. I think some of us are waiting for, you know, that mishap to happen because there's probably going to – but, you know, if it does, Hugh, all the NFL has to do is laugh, you know?
They don't seem like the type to like to laugh about a whole lot of stuff, but we'll see. I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be something different. I honestly think that everybody's not going to adhere to the rules. You know, somebody's going to wear something that's going to be probably a statement, some kind of a political statement, not nothing radical, but it's going to be something. And there's going to be some fallout come Friday.
Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff in a pre-draft news conference yesterday had a lot to say about the draft, about his pick, and more. We have all that sound. We're going to play it for you next. Morning show with John and Hugh. NFL draft coverage on 92 on the game, brought to you by Twin Peaks, your home for the 2020 NFL season. What the GM said, next on the morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the game and worldwide at radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.